angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you, to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
All right, thank you, three. It came to pass in those days. It came to pass just as it was prophesied in the Old Testament, and just as the angel Gabriel had announced in chapter 1. In those days, Jews hated their land being occupied by Romans because the Romans were idolaters, and they hated the fact that Caesar's image was on the coins. At that time, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, who was the grandnephew of Julius Caesar. I never knew that before until I was reading today. He was the grandnephew of Julius Caesar. I forget his name, but he called himself Caesar Augustus. He served until I think about AD 14, started in 440 BC, and he served until 14, around 14, AD 14. Well, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world, all that area should be taxed. And in order for them to be taxed, he required that everyone go back to their hometown and register. But the purpose was to register to be taxed or enrolled to be taxed. And so, as I've said for the last 40 years, he was a liberal Democrat. There was no tax he did not love. And so this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. This was the first census taken with this governor. And all went to be enrolled to be taxed, everyone into his own city. The Romans, of course, all missed the wonders of Christmas because of idolatry. They worshipped other gods. They weren't interested in the Jews' Messiah who was promised. And of course, many Jews also rejected the Christ child as being Messiah. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, a despised place, nothing there. It was a pretty corrupt city. He went into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage or the family of David. So Caesar unknowingly fulfilled God's will, bringing Mary to Bethlehem. Even the great Roman Empire could not stand in the way of God's purpose. Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," insignificant, "yet out of thee shall proceed." And the verse goes on to talk about, a ruler who would come, who would be over Israel, whose beginnings were of old, from everlasting. The NIV, I think they miss in the latter part of their translation, which I'm not an NIV fan. This is how that verse reads, Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old. And this is where I think they fail, from ancient times. No, it goes before that. From everlasting, Jesus has always existed. He is God in the flesh. Bethlehem, of course, means house of bread. Ephrathah is often used as a synonym for Bethlehem. You can go all the way back in the Old Testament and study about Ephrathah. There's a lot of conflicting opinions on it. I don't think it really matters. It's speaking of that area of Bethlehem. Many great things in history happened there. And of course, that is where David had his beginnings as well. I think when her name just left me, Jacob's wife, Rachel. When Rachel had Benjamin, she died near there. She was buried there near Bethlehem. All right, so they went to be taxed. With Mary, his espoused wife, at this time they were married. Being great with child, of course, being espoused was the same as being married back in those days. You were under contract. They had not yet consummated the marriage as far as the physical act. She was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, completed, that she should be delivered. And of course, this would be the time when heavenly glory and earthly poverty joined together, and the babe that was promised would be born, this sinless child, the Son of God, would be born. And the baby was born. She brought forth her firstborn son. And I circled "she brought forth" because it implies that she basically did it all herself. There was no midwife. Doesn't mean that Joseph didn't do anything, but pretty much she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, long strips of cloth, and laid him in a feeding trough, in a manger, which was normally done by the midwife. And of course, we have brought out in the past some things regarding sacrificial lambs and swaddling cloths. And let me just remind you of a couple of things I know you've heard before. 700 years, of course, before the birth of Christ, we just read in Micah 5:2 that Jesus, it was predicted that he would be born at Bethlehem, pointing to the exact location of his birth. How could that have happened 700 years before Christ, where exactly where he would be born was prophesied, and everything had to fall in place exactly as was predicted? And even that old liberal Democrat, Caesar Augustus, fit in the picture when he decided it'd be a good idea to enroll everybody to be taxed and required to go back to their hometowns, which took Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, where exactly the place was that he was supposed to be born. There are no accidents with God, right? The old saying, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Because God knows exactly what he's going to do. And that's why I still think God turned President Trump's head at exactly the right time. And you know, the chart that was put up on the screen was just given to him. He didn't plan on showing that chart, but it was so good regarding the influx of illegals into our nation. And so he turned to point something out on that chart at exactly the right moment. Is it an accident? I don't think so. David, of course, king of Israel, was born and grew up. He tended his father's sheep there at Bethlehem. When the wise men came before Herod, they asked, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And this, of course, occurred when Jesus was a toddler. Not this, but Matthew's account talks about. Bethlehem was chosen as the birthplace of God's only son. As a matter of fact, in Micah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai. Let's see, Jonah, Micah, chapter 4, verse number 8. "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee it shall come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Speaking of Migdal Eder, where the lambs for sacrifice were raised. The area around Bethlehem had rich land. I mean, it was a fertile area. And this Migdal Eder is where there were thousands of sheep. I mean, can you imagine when it came time for animal sacrifices and lambs were required, how many lambs it took to satisfy the requirements? I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lambs. The kingship would come from, and the former dominion would be restored to Jerusalem at the watchtower of the flock. Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock is what it means, was where lambs set aside for temple sacrifices were raised. The ones that were without lamb, without blemish, the firstborn male would be set aside for sacrifice. There were 5 million people in that area. During Passover, the annual celebration of the Hebrew nation's deliverance from captivity in Egypt, one lamb was needed for every household. That would be around 250,000 lambs. That's a lot of sheep. The Tower of Migdal Eder provided the perfect vantage point from which the shepherds could quite literally watch over their flocks. And they protected their sheep with their lives. And of course, there were a lot of crevices and a lot of places where the sheep could get hurt and fall and be injured. And so they would care for their sheep with their lives, protecting them from predators, keeping them from other dangers. The newborn lambs would be wrapped tightly. They would be swaddled in specially designated temple cloths, and they would be laid in a manger to keep them contained while they were examined for any blemishes. At the appointed time, the shepherds would separate the lambs, selecting only the firstborn males that were without mark or blemish, would lead them to Jerusalem, where they would be purchased by people wanting to present a sacrifice before the Lord to atone for their sins. So when the angel appeared to the shepherds in the fields, he told them they would find the newborn king wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And those were strips of cloth. You could call them burial cloths. It's almost as though Christ was entombed, because obviously the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world one day would die upon a cross and pay our sin debt in full. 3 decades later, the Apostle John pointed to his cousin Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, see the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of the world. 2,000 years later, Jesus is still doing that. He's taking away sin. I thought that was interesting. Questions or comments about so far? Anybody? All right, let's read on. Well, there was no room in the inn for them. The innkeeper was indifferent. Normally, Middle Easterners were hospitable. Here was a woman great with child. You would think that if he didn't have any rooms, that he could have put her in his room. Wouldn't that seem like the thing to do? Nah, he wasn't interested. So he missed Christmas because he was too busy. The Romans missed Christmas because of idolatry, worshiping pagan gods. Well, they were in the same country, in the same region, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch. They were night watchmen over their flock by night, living under the open sky, and lo, an angel, not the angel, but an angel of the Lord, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Shekinah glory broke the night sky, and I mean, it was like a big old heavenly spotlight was on them. I guess that would kind of put the fear of God on you. What do you think? And they were sore afraid, another KJV awesomeness. They were sore afraid, and all they could do was tremble in fear, as we should also tremble in the presence of God. We seem to lack fear of God in our society today, don't we? They saw his glory and fell at his feet as dead. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news of a great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. What's the next two words? He was Lord at the moment of his, or even before he was born, but definitely at the moment of his birth. And we still have those that say Christ is Lord is not significant. We need to recognize that he's Savior, and maybe someday, oh, maybe someday we could make him Lord. I still shudder every time I hear that people believe that. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And yet we see many of the, as in the days of Christ, many of the pompous religious folk dressed in all kinds of fancy robes. And the Catholics and Episcopalians like to wear those funny headdresses, as though that makes them holy when their hearts are far from the Lord. Robes of ritual and ceremony. God's not impressed. Paul wrote about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Can you even imagine? I can't. Multitude of angels praising God, shouting glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There are several ways that's translated. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. Peace among men with whom he is well pleased. And some say peace toward men of goodwill. We know that the only place that peace can truly come is from God himself. Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of the cross, Paul wrote. I remember back in 2018 when we had a it was the last time we actually had what we could call a banquet. Since then, it's been more of a dinner. We went to the Clarion, remember that? Did that a couple of years. That was a nice, kind of a little fancier, good food. And I brought a little short message in 2018. Four things that will help make our Christmas merry. Number one, make room in your heart for Jesus. And we use verse number 7, where there was no room for them in the inn. We know that men love darkness rather than light, so they rejected Christ when he came the first time, because our deeds are evil. Also talked about why many will not make room for Jesus, because they reject him as Lord. Lord means master. He's in charge. And we love the idea of Jesus as Savior because it keeps us out of hell, but to recognize his lordship means that I've got to submit myself to his authority. And I got to do what he says. And my will is not important anymore. It's his will, not my will. Folks don't like that in today's world, do they? To submit even to Christ. Another way to have a Merry Christmas is to make known the good news to others. Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. What about the sheep? I mean, before the angel appeared and all the angels singing and praising God, they would protect their sheep with their own lives. They would have allowed a wolf to devour them before they allow that wolf to devour the sheep. And now, notice how priorities change when one truly has been touched by God. They said, forget the stupid sheep. Let's go see Jesus. Man, that'd be all right. We'll come back later. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The angel didn't appear to the big shots, to the ones wearing the fancy robes and speaking the fancy language. He went to the despised. The angel appeared to the shepherds. They weren't exactly looked at with great pride, were they? Some of the outcasts of society. And they came with haste, didn't waste any time, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. How they all fit in that little thing, I have no idea, but they made it work. Had to bring that out, you know, got to. And what people need today is to come with haste to Jesus, the Savior and Lord. There's no hope. I can't imagine. I cannot even imagine living in this world today, as wicked, as vile as it is, and the things that are happening, without having Christ very much alive in my heart and life. Life without Christ is not life at all. He that hath a son hath life. Period. We don't have Christ, we don't have life. We have existence. When they had seen it, they made known abroad. There it is. Make known the good news to others. You'd be surprised how many people live such camouflaged Christian lives that folks have no idea that they're Christians. Other people have no idea. I didn't know there was a Christian. Should there ever be any doubt that we're a Christian? When we have contact with people, I'm not talking about somebody walking down the street and they would look over at us and say, yeah, there's a Christian. Unless we, you know, put on a t-shirt and a Make God Great Again cap. It'd be a white cap instead of a red one. Make God Great Again. But if folks know us at all, they ought to know that we love Jesus, shouldn't they? Come on. The shepherds told others. When's the last time you told someone else about your faith in Christ? Invited them to the Savior. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all those things and pondered them in her heart, giving these things their true weight and value. She just continued to meditate on all. I mean, can you imagine how overwhelmed this young maiden was by all that had happened? And she just mulled over these things and rehearsed them in her mind and heart and chewed on them and just allowed everything to kind of sink in. So number three, she meditated, as we should, on the true meaning of Christmas. Tragic what's happened to Christmas. I mean, it's been commercialized for decades. I mean, decades and decades. But when I was a child, I mean, you didn't really get serious about Christmas till after Thanksgiving. The stores didn't line their shelves with Christmas stuff until after Thanksgiving. Then it became a little earlier, before Thanksgiving. Now it's Labor Day. I imagine there are some stores that are already starting to, I think somebody told me recently they saw Christmas stuff somewhere. Who was that?
Was it somebody?
Yeah, but there are stores. You'll see, right after Labor Day, it'll start happening. Then, lastly, maintaining a spirit of worship. Maintaining a spirit of worship. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned. They went back. I don't know how many sheep they lost, but they went back to their jobs, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them, which reminds us of something extremely important. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. And it's tragic that the majority of people, of course, Christmas now, schools and public places, they don't want anything that points to Jesus. Even though it's his birthday, it's so ridiculous. Oh, we can't, that's separation, church and state. Can't be having the manger scene because that, you know, that leaves out all these other false religions. We can't do that. Even taking Christ out of Christmas and putting that X there, Xmas, that's so annoying. I mean, it takes a lot of effort to write the name Christ down.
You know what you say the next time somebody says that about, you know, there's separation of church and state, and I challenged the guy. This one was with the FBI. I said, okay, show me where that's in the Constitution, mm-hmm. or any of our laws. He said, but I will show you this. You know what it says in the First Amendment? Congress shall pass no law that would avoid or disallow the worship of God.
Yeah.
No law.
Absolutely. And tragically, Christmas for most is a time to receive stuff and get off of work. It has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. What a tragedy to have all these birthday Christmas celebrations and the guest of honor is not welcome. Wouldn't that be crazy? Hey, preacher, we're having a big birthday celebration for you. But you can't come. Yeah, but it's my birthday. Sorry. We put an X through you. Questions or comments? I don't want to go any further because that would ruin the whole way we do the Christmas story. Questions, comments? Mary, you got anything to add?
Amazon Prime had their Christmas specials yesterday and today.
As a matter of fact, I got two nice little toys from my great-granddaughter.
Oh, you went shopping?
I did. I got my great-granddaughter done.
No wonder you're playing Christmas music.
Well, as a matter of fact, when I get home, I've got my tree out in the building with a sheet over or with a plastic cover over. I'm going to go out there and look at it. All right, let's stand together, be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thank God for the cooler weather. I thought for sure last night, I looked at the radar and it was beautiful. I said, oh, sweet. Thank you, God. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. I saw all this nice rain go right over the dock, right over the dock. Got a bunch of wind, 4 drops of rain, and it was gone. God knows what he's doing. If he wants me to drink dust, I'll drink dust. Whatever he wants. I know one thing. I'm keeping my garden watered, but when it gets over 100 degrees, which it did a couple days in a row, that's hard on your plants. I don't care if they have plenty of water or not. And mine are, they're okay, but they're looking a little peaked. Really? Looking a little peaked. All right. Leonard, would you pray, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord, to spend in your word. We thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for each one that is here. We pray for the ones that doesn't know you as Lord. We just pray that they'll come to know you before it's entirely too late. We think of the missionaries around the world, Lord, as they go out and win souls for you. We just pray that you just watch over them and keep them safe, Lord, if it be your will. We thank you for the little bit of rain that we had, Lord. Just thank you and praise you for that. But we just pray for more rain, Lord, if it be your will.
Yes, God.
We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for our salvation. And bring us back to the next appointed time. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Be safe. Love you guys.